Hi, welcome to the Whole Therapist Podcast. We're leaving out the theorizing and exploring this strange phenomenon of being a human and a therapist. I'm Kelly, licensed marriage and family therapist, working in private practice settings as a clinician and a clinical supervisor in the Denver metro area.
And I'm Abby. I'm a licensed clinical social worker and the owner of a group practice in the Denver metro area. Kelly and I are both registered play therapists, supervisors, and EMDR certified. So we're both therapists, but this is not therapy. And we're both supervisors, but this is not supervision. This podcast is purely for fun. So for any ethical concerns on your caseload, please refer to your state laws and licensing boards.
And please remember to follow The Whole Therapist on Instagram, Facebook, and subscribe on your favorite podcast listening station. For more resources, blogs, and consultation opportunities, visit wholetherapistinstitute.com.
So come join our conversation while we explore the embodied experience of neuroscience and authenticity in the therapy room.
Hi, welcome to the Whole Therapist Podcast. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Abby.
Good to have you all here. Happy almost summer. You may have noticed that our podcasts have not been coming out very regularly every 2 weeks. So we're doing the best we can to keep it that way. But yeah. I think we've been also just trying to be flexible with ourselves.
So thanks for bending with us, and we're excited to meet when we can, and it's our intention to do it at least monthly, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Today, we're excited. We want to talk to you about giving and receiving resources, and specifically with clients, and we've got kind of a whole lot of ideas around this topic. Mm-hmm. But before we jump in, we do want to share a couple things and things you might want to be looking forward to. We are over the next few podcasts, maybe not after this one. Again, we're not really sure when all of these will air, but we are going to be reading a book, Abby and I, together. And it's by Cozzolino, The Development of a Therapist, Healing Others, Healing Self. Actually, Abby has read it, but will reread it. and I have not read it, and I'm obsessed with the book, mostly from hearing it from Abby.
I will say we talk about this book all the time. Mm-hmm. We're sharing quotes, and I think you all have seen it referenced many times in the show notes.
Yes.
So going through it in a really structured way might feel really nice, but please let us know as the episodes go on, just because it's in line with what we talk about anyway.
Mm-hmm. But what we would love is if you could pick this book up and read it with us. Mm-hmm. So be on the lookout on probably social media would be the best way. We will announce when we're going to start reading it and when the episodes are going to come out. And we would just love to be reading a book with you. And if you are having thoughts or wonderings while you're reading it, you're welcome to reach out to us just via email. Or if you want to even record something and you'd want to be heard on the podcast, we'd love to put your thoughts or wonderings as you read the book with us.
Another exciting offering is coming this fall, September 30th, which honestly feels really far away in early June, but it's going to be here before we know it. I'm going to be in Austin at the workshop, Marshall Lyles's workshop. He's generously hosting this training on honoring cellular stories. So we're going to go through this, kind of complicated sounding word, epigenetics, but we're going to break it down in a really expressive way and honor ancestral stories and how to bring this to clients and finding some hope within DNA and togetherness. So I would just so love to see any of you that are in the area or able to visit the area. I've actually never been to Austin, so I hear there's lots of good food to eat there. Yeah. And so many people I care about that live there too. So in the spirit of sharing resources and gathering, check out the website if you'd like to sign up for that.
I will share. I haven't told this to you yet. I had posted on social media a sound clip that said Abby's going to Texas. And I don't remember who it was, but they're like, oh, I saw that Abby's moving to Texas. So no, Abby's not moving to Texas.
For the record, sorry to my Texan friends. I am hell no not moving to Texas.
A Texas size no.
Texas. The Texas size no, but I'm so excited to visit at the end of September. And to do this training, I'm doing a training in August. It's already full in Denver, but there are spots for the Austin offering. And you can check out more on the website or just send us an email if you have any questions.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
Moving to Texas.
I know.
No.
But yes, as Abby said, that's really why we wanted to share in the spirit of sharing resources and being in community. And that is, as I said, what we want to talk about with you all today.
Yeah.
And it kind of came to light because was there an experience that you had where you thought, like, why aren't we sharing?
You know, I picked up Deb Dana's new book. It's called Anchored. I have not, full disclosure, I have not read it. I've just been like browsing, and I really love the directives at the very end with mindfulness, but I'm going to read it. It's called Anchored, How to Befriend Your Nervous System Using Polyvagal Theory by Deb Dana. And I think we were just sharing, I've had a few clients pick it up and it's been so helpful. Mm-hmm. And just this, this realization that I think as clinicians, there's been this awful trend that we are like gatekeepers of information, mm-hmm. or something, which has very much like power dynamic vibes that don't feel good. So there's something around sharing, like, hey, I picked up this book and we're going to be using some of it in our session, or we're drawing from some of these theories in session. If you want to pick it up too, you know, feel free. And some of my clients have just found that so helpful. So whether it's Deb Dana's book, or I've had some people read The Heart of Trauma, Bonnie's book, I've had clients share books with me that have been helpful. So we were thinking about this idea of sharing resources and walking alongside your client with the material in a way that feels nourishing to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what's really important that you just said is walking alongside of them with the material. Oftentimes what I've seen is either a therapist recommend a book to a client, but the therapist has never read the book. It's my personal policy that I'm not ever going to refer a book for a client to read unless I've read it. Mm-hmm. And I have also seen, and I actually think this is true for myself in my like earlier years as a therapist, where I read the material and I think the right brain side of me really felt it, but to be able to put it into words in session with a client, I think it actually comes up a lot with attachment.
Yeah.
Like people are understanding or like feeling attachment, and we hear a lot about it, but I always see people saying like, what book can I give my client on about attachment? And I'm like, well, that's actually the last thing you want to do when working with attachment is like moving the left brain.
That's funny. Like what part of the therapist, and I've been that therapist, that's me too, yeah. Right? Like what part of us, that's the left brain. What do I give them so they can really feel into this?
Right. And so some of it might come from a place of if they could just read it, then they'll understand. And mm-hmm. Really that's just not, we need both,
yeah.
Right? Like Dan Siegel talks about that in one of the, you know, the whole brain trial. It's very simple about talking about the left brain, the right brain, and how we need both to integrate. We can't just like hand a book or a resource to a client and not walk beside them with the material.
Yeah. It's so true. I have one person who we're doing some like transgenerational trauma work with epigenetics in mind. And I recommended that book. What's it called? It Didn't Start With You.
Oh, yeah.
By Mark Wolin. Is that how you say his name?
Oh, I don't know how to say his name.
Yeah, we'll link it in the show notes. It's really good. It's for therapists, it seems.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't this on Oprah?
Was it?
Yeah, I think it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe it's not for therapists. It feels very clinical when I read it, and yet the stories are so, that's what I remember of the book, is not the data, it's the stories that he shares. And anyway, it's really helpful to give that resource to a client and then ask, like, I'd be so curious if you're able to read it, what parts were confusing or really enlivening next time we meet? Mm-hmm. And so then they bring it. And they share, and the difference from like a book club and therapy is like they'll say what mattered or was confusing, and then we'll go through like, well, which part is holding that belief or what's right. And so we're using this like shared resource, partly for their left brain to understand like why this isn't like woo-woo, new agey. Like it's also grounded, it's scientifically grounded.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking through like what really mattered to them or what felt very confusing or they disagreed with and which part is sharing that and going from there in the session.
Yes.
And I would have never thought to do that, not even too long ago, to just like offer a resource on epigenetics and stories to a client.
Right.
It feels like, oh, that's meant for colleagues, mm-hmm. when I don't think that that's true.
It's making me think of this conversation I had with Marshall quite a while ago. But he started talking about what the phrase clinical intuition means.
Yes.
He was like kind of cursing about it. And he's like, you know, I'm in a curse. He's like, what the fuck does that even mean? You know, he's like, what makes it that we have that clinical intuition is somehow better than what this client's intuition is?
That's right. This is the power piece.
Yeah.
Who said that we get to decide who gets resources and who don't?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think too, what I'm noticing is, you know, you had sent me that podcast. Mm-hmm. And as I was listening to it, there was one client that again and again came to mind. And I remember thinking, like, I really want to send this to her.
Mm.
I really think that this client would benefit from listening to this.
Mm-hmm.
And we can talk about it. I know that she'll want to talk about it in session. And I know that only because her and I actually have shared. She'll send me articles sometimes, or I've lent her books before to read. So I think I already know that relationship, that we kind of share and receive resources together.
Yeah.
And I just even wonder, the clinical conceptualization around that and what that does to heal people.
Yeah. You mean like the sharing and because I'm hearing the receiving.
Mm-hmm.
She sent articles to you.
Mm-hmm.
There's something around this humility and wonder and delight about learning from our clients too.
Mm.
That has to be really helpful to them and to us authentically to be like, I didn't know that. Thank you for sharing.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to being so fragile with our ego, like I should know everything because I'm the therapist. Or, you know, I think when I was in like earlier out of grad school, it felt like some kind of dig if someone gave me like a parent gave me a resource or,
mm-hmm.
and in fairness, I think sometimes parents do that.
Yeah.
For other motives.
Yes.
But I can hold compassion for that now. I learn a lot from clients. Mm-hmm. They should know that.
It makes me think we did a podcast on being able to say, I don't know.
Yes.
Right? I mean, what an expectation that we have to have and hold all the answers. We just don't.
I know. It. You know, our couples therapist, my partner and I have an amazing couples therapist. It's funny because he was also Kelly and her partner's couple therapist.
He really is amazing.
I wish I could link him in the show notes, but I'm sure that's like some kind of boundary. Like, reach out to us if you're in Colorado and want a really good recommendation.
Yeah.
He just sent us a poem from the Sufi poet Hafiz, and he sent my partner and I this poem, and it was so, to me, it was like so helpful, right? So this is nothing about EFT or Sue Johnson or whatever, nothing clinical, but it's this poem that like really spoke to what we were going through in therapy together.
Mm-hmm.
And that was probably one of the most helpful resources. It wasn't these podcasts or books, or it's this poem about love from Hafiz. Yeah.
Well, I just smile because it makes me know how much he must know the two of you for him to know to send you a poem.
Yeah, like feeling so known and then having a shared resource between the two of us to draw from.
Actually, that's a really good point that you just said, feeling known.
Yes.
Right? You think about when somebody gets you this gift and you feel seen, you're like when you just get the perfect gift and it doesn't have to be expensive.
Yes.
It's just like, oh, this person really sees me.
Yeah.
And for us to share that with the client and for them to be like, yes, I'm connected to this, which means that this therapist is connected to me, which means they see me.
Mm-hmm. There's such a difference between feeling known and receiving a gift from a therapist, like even in a resource,
mm-hmm.
versus feeling like quieted or sent off to do a duty and homework.
Yeah.
So I think about that with, we all have clients that say like, well, what's my homework?
Mm-hmm.
Or give me something to do. And we can name that's the left brain and all those things. And it sounds like they want to be known maybe underneath it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One spiel that I will give to parents, I really do want all the parents that I work with to read Dan Siegel's The Whole Brain Child. I think it's got some good language. But what I share with them is that even that book, but other kind of like self-help books, they are written for the masses. And so I tell them, like, I'm not just asking you to read this. Like, we're going to talk about it in our parent sessions. And I'm going to individualize this book to your family and your child and your relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I'm asking you to read this, but we are essentially what you said, we're going to walk together in this material.
Yeah.
And what I love about it is we then develop a shared language with each other. And I don't have to spend a lot of time explaining concepts.
No. It's kind of like what we're modeling in this podcast, going through Cozzolino's recent book. Mm. Like we have this book and we want to go through it with you all listening, and we're going to individualize it as much as Kelly and I can to ourselves and what we wonder might be helpful. And please let us know what does or doesn't land, or questions, or thoughts and wonderings that you've had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'd love to individualize it to you.
Exactly. Like, I think that that's relational to offer a resource and then sit with it and be like, okay, so maybe there's parts we just really reject and we can talk about that, and parts that we hold on to. So
I just want to say, I feel like very energized and hopeful talking about resources. Mm-hmm. I know that I walked into the room that we're in to record and I was like on the verge of crying. Then I was crying and just like really having a hard time in the world that we're living in right now. So it feels really good to talk about sharing and being in community.
I think that says something that we're both ending this feeling. We're both leaning in.
Yeah.
We're both smiling, having come from tears just like 20 minutes before.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thanks for being with us. And I guess we'd be curious what types of resources you can recall receiving in a way that felt so nourishing. And how did you know? And just sitting with that somatic sense this week or the next few weeks of how did you notice that you received a resource that was enlivening and life-affirming? And what in your body told you so?